a challenge read for our podcast. We call this a challenge read because of the fact that it's not within our comfort zone or within our base knowledge, and it's what intellectual people read. Of course, I learned about this from my internet friend, Bill Gates. So guys, only brilliant people read this, and we might as well use a little of our brain so that we can indulge a little in their intellectual conversations. The book is entitled How to Lie with Statistics, as in lie, L-I-E, written by Daryl Huff. How to Lie with Statistics is a nonfiction illustrated by Irving Gaze. In the cover page, it says, an honest-to-goodness bestseller. At first, I thought this book is new because I have known about this recently and it's not even in my to-be-read books for this year, only to find out that the copyright is or was on the year 1954. A pretty old book, oldie but goodie, as they say. The good thing about the book, I think, is the way it is a quick read for about more than 300 pages and with illustrations. Primarily, I don't find it political as some other books. It just plainly wants to tell people what is the basic statistics terms and rules without overdoing it. I have an extremely small background in statistics, so I will just tell you what I learned from the book and not from any of my previous lessons learned in my class, because apparently other from finding the mean median mode, I have no idea what would I say about statistics. Let's just say that statistics is the basis of many things we see in the media, from predicting who will win in elections to advertisements and your chances of getting married or your chances of dying. If you want to persuade someone, a convincing way to start your statement would be to say, according to statistics, blah blah blah, or based on statistics. This is where the book lessons enter, where it teaches us, or the readers, to ask whose statistics? What is the complete picture? Who were asked before you come up with the statistics? Who says so? The lessons in the book is not actually to learn how to lie, because no one would make a book to do that, right? We have a universal law to do no harm, even in writing. Especially in writing. So I believe that the book is teaching us how to be critical in our understanding about the numbers being presented before us, claiming as facts. As we are in a fact-minded culture nowadays, because we believe that we are all bright, we use statistical methods in reporting things. These statistical results are written and then further interpreted or understood by readers. But this could all be nonsense if the writers manipulate it with words and the readers think that it means the other way. Yet this book also could be used by people who want to deceive. Yet if everyone knows the tactics of deceiving through statistics, then probably no one will be deceived, right? Thus, as consumers or readers, we need to know how to work our way out of this white lies. This book has been around for 7 decades. For sure, many people know already about how statistics works, and maybe some of them did not have to read this book to know when they are being misinformed through figures and numbers. Others must have learned it in school or probably sadly through experience. But let's all be realistic here. Many out there, and sometimes even us, who are informed in one way or another, are still played with these numbers and polls, especially if it favors us. Like a popular statistic would say that 90% of pretty women are born in rich families. So instead of taking it as a fact, we have to be critical and ask, what does they mean when they say pretty? Or who judged them if they are pretty or not? Would that include women who are wearing makeup or have undergone surgery? Because most likely rich women could afford beauty enhancements like here and there. And at what age is this data coming from? Actually, there are endless questions that we can derive from this statistical statement if we are going to be condemning it. Or to not have a mental burden, just read it and don't believe. You don't have to keep on talking and go on convincing uncritical minds or your uncritical minded friends like it's some sort of a fact. We all could take our choice of conclusion in the end. It's nice to be informed, but it's nicer to be unbiased and uncritical with the information around us. Yet some people would still contest that it's nicest to not know anything because ignorance is bliss. Let's respect their opinion. The book has only 10 chapters. Most chapters include statistical examples based from real published materials or data, and some are even from respected international magazines. It also has some teachings on computations like how to compute the mean. But it's easy to understand, and the book is not too technical about it. Even just the chapter subtitles are giving away the information of what you should know about statistics, like the little figures that are not there in chapter 3. Pretty says that there are things that are excluded in many statistical results that sometimes not knowing and knowing the result does not make sense at all. But we can't say that statisticians where our researchers are just useless. There is so much pressure put onto them by bigger individuals or powerful organizations in order for them to come up with a result that is favorable for their businesses. That, if the result is not pleasing, they tend to revise or repeat the polls or studies until they can come up with an agreeable result that would boost their company's image or would improve earnings. Business, my dear, is like that sometimes. But it's not only in business that statistics play a major role. I mean, in the healthcare setting or in the field of medicine, there are many underlying numbers which are the basis of many health interventions, from vaccinations to prevalence of cancer to the effectiveness of medications, and even just the physical growth of a person or a child. There are tons of calculations that interpret this and that, but there would always be inadequacies and biases that we need to consider, especially about the prevalence rate of diseases, because we always hear and infer that diseases such as cancer, migraine, hypertension, and others are more common in this generation or in our generation than in previous generations, or that there are more deaths related to these diseases than before. Now, the book tells us that there is more to the information given. We have to know that 30 or 40 years ago, reporting of diseases are probably not mandatory, or there were no established protocols before on reporting. It could also be that health insurances does not exist in those times. Well, this background data are sometimes not included once published, so we need to have an eye for the background information. Advertising is one of the worst statistics providing source. When advertisers would tell you about their product, they will not say the negative, of course, because they are paying the platform to advertise. Instead, they crop the negative data and present only the good, and thus they still are free of deceiving the public because they had reported the statistical facts based on their research or whatsoever, but we did not know that there were data that are or have been omitted. If statistics deceive us through numbers, like how we are more convinced if the profit amounted to $43.12 than shown as about or around $43, there are also chances that we are deceived through graphics. Just by making pictures bigger and clearer, our minds automatically is biased to think which products seem better. Not only graphics, but also words. Writers are the experts to know this because, as you can see in writing, it's better if you could always create a summary, because people's minds are designed to conserve time and effort. That if you make an essay, you have to create a 140 characters summary of it so that it would be posted in Twitter for people to actually read it. Well, in further chapters, I encountered another way aside from numbers or statistics people use to deceive us, and that is through semi-attached figure. It says that if you can't prove what you want to prove, demonstrate something else and pretend that they are the same thing. It's like this. If someone likes you and try to impress you, they try to cover up whatever awful things they did to you in the past, and they are going to act nicely to your friends or family members until you feel like they are nice and worth of being liked back because of the semi-attached actions done without even considering the real quality and totality of intentions, or as they were never shown. Okay, that was out of context, but it happens. It's called semi-attached figures. Instead of proving what is, they prove other things attached to that thing, tricking you that it is one and the same. At times, while reading the book, I find that it's becoming offensive to statisticians. I mean, they are actually being discredited here, when they're just doing their jobs, and I personally have high regards to this profession, but now with a little less regard that I had learned some lessons from the book. We are just human beings, and it's hard not to fall into conscious and unconscious biases. Plus, it would be hard to make sense of this world if we reject many statistical methods. After all, we like it. We like to find out how many people are infected with this virus as of today, how many are dead, what country has the highest number of cases, what is the projected number of cases in a couple of months, without even considering that there are many factors behind those numbers, such as reporting of cases, screening tests conducted, the population of an area, the age and current health status of people, even people's economic status would actually affect the number. The numbers reported are numbers. They are figures. But they are far from the truth because the public won't always be told. Especially if the source have other interests than just reporting. Always ask what is missing. Because even forecasting the future based on science and statistics is no better than an educated guess. That's what I learned from this book. If you want to delve into or is interested in this kind of concepts, I recommend another book entitled Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman. It's more recently published, a challenging read, but nevertheless noteworthy. That is it for How to Lie with Statistics. Stay kind. Thank you.